They was telling me the other day that while Suzanne was trying to eat, that the television was showing something about this, and she just stopped eating. She couldn't eat. Tore up so bad, she couldn't eat. Now, this is a letter that's come from Joe. As far as I know, this man is sincere. As a matter of fact, we made it our business to find out that he was sincere. And to the best of our ability, we found out that the man is sincere. As a matter of fact, he's so sincere that the mayor of California honored him in such a way that they made a Joe Bass Day because he had helped so many hungry people. And we've been trying for quite a long while to help Joe. Joe isn't the only one. We try to help numbers of different ones, Dr. Douglas and others. Some of the men I don't agree with, so far as their doctrine, they seem to be sound in their Christian living and their doctrine as to the degree of understanding that they have. And God only requires what you know. And we're trying our best to do what little we can to take them a little further along in our way as to showing our Christian love. And this man wrote us a letter not too long ago and said, Brother, Sister Pike, he sent us a picture of he and his wife and some of them, and he said, you know, said, we just kind of count y'all as one of the family because we tried to help them some, you know. And numbers of different people around the different parts of the world, we try to help a little bit here and there. Some of them, I think, they're making shoe boxes right now. That is, they're putting shoe boxes together to send stuff down to the different parts of the country. But I want Brother Taylor to read this, and this will give you some idea of what the man's trying to do. And by the way, this came before he got your offering. In writing this letter, I want you to listen real careful. In writing this letter, he had not received your funds. He doesn't know anything about it unless he found out today. And he was writing here. He knows that we have aided him in the past. And he was writing here asking for a $100 gift. And I want you to notice the way he approaches it, the way he handles himself and whatever, and as far as I know, he's over there with those children right now. But I want Brother Taylor to come and read it, and I'd like for you to listen at it.
It's dated December 1984. Dear Mr. and Mrs. Pike, Christmas is coming, and I truly do not want to do or say anything to disturb your Christmas or to rob you of any of the joys you and yours are experiencing at this wonderful time of year. But frankly, Mr. and Mrs. Pike, I have no one else to turn to. As I write you this letter, I am $1.6 million short of monies needed to handle our emergency relief. Numerous emergencies have come up this year, and I have done my very best to respond to each. For instance, the African drought that threatens the survival of millions of people is considered to be the most devastating in modern history. ICA, InterAid, has been providing emergency food and other emergency aid to the innocent victims of this drought. I pray that this Christmas would give me some let up in the desperate pleas. This has not been the case. It has been a difficult year for me, Mr. and Mrs. Pike. Almost every month, I've been out there with the suffering children. When an outbreak of measles began killing thousands of children in Zaire, I had a plane load of life-saving vaccine and a team of doctors and nurses airlifted to the field. We saved thousands of children. In Central America, ICA InterAid came to the rescue of the homeless Christian Miskito Indians, driven out by Marxist troops. We were there with food, clothing, medicine, and medicinal soaps to help fight the terrible skin diseases infecting the children. And we've been in Beirut since the crisis began, fitting children who lost arms and legs with artificial limbs and providing them with food, clothing, and medicine. But the ravages of war, famine, and drought that you see and read about in the news each day are taking their toll. And what hurts me most, Mr. and Mrs. Pike, are the thousands of children left to their own devices. I had hoped that this Christmas would be one special day of love and hope for 45,000 orphaned and refugee children I've taken under my wing. But unless a miracle happens in the next week, Christmas will be just another day of hopelessness for the world's most deprived and forgotten children. Regardless of what happens, Mr. and Mrs. Pike, I will be with the children. I cannot turn my back on them now. The next few days are crucial, and with all honesty, Mr. and Mrs. Pike, I could not, with a clear conscience, fail to make a final effort before Christmas to plead with my friends to help me get the $1.6 million we desperately need. Mr. and Mrs. Pike, I hesitate to ask you this, but could you possibly send a sacrificial gift of $100 right away? Will you help me touch the lives of these children who are so desperately in need of my help? If my request is too large, let your conscience guide you in whatever you should give. But please help us, help me now in any way you can. I must hear from you today. Yours for the children this Christmas, Joe Bass. And please join me in praying that not one child will be left out. I must not fail even one of them.
This, of course, is the letter that Brother Bass wrote, and I want you to hear it for yourself now. You can see how desperate he is, and he does not know yet that you just sent him $3,000. He asked for $100. He has no idea that you sent him $3,000. You can imagine how he'll feel when he receives $3,000. Prorated. I think the last little bit we sent Joe about $5,000. And sometimes money goes off and you don't know anything about it. It goes to different fields and areas. I don't know how much money we've sent Joe. We've sent more than any $5,000. I suppose we sent quite a bit. But at least that much in large sums. Maybe in $1,000 lumps or whatever. But $5,000 in the last little bit. And see, $5,000 prorated will feed 10,000 children for 2 days. And the three that you just sent off will feed 6,000 children prorated for 2 days. That is, pull them out of the slump of starvation. And just think now, supposing that you feed them not 10,000 or 6,000, but supposing that you just feed 1,000 or 500 or whatever. See how many days that would feed them? It would feed them numbers and numbers of days taking care of them. So then you can see how much this means to the Lord and how much it means to us. And to think that those children that are starving are only typical of the spiritual babes in Christ. Because that's the only reason that that exists is because of spiritual drought. The waters are withdrawing. The waters of life are withdrawing. And a lot of times perhaps you wonder why that it's in that part of the country. But see, the dark people indicate the veil of death. And so when those things in the natural happens, it happens in the dark country to symbolize that God is withdrawing. That's the natural symbol of sin prevailing and God withdrawing. So they naturally fall into problems. While on the other side, the people that are of the lighter skin or the fairer people, they symbolize righteousness and that wherein the veil of death is taken away. So they get the blessings, unusual blessings. But the horrified thing is that it is pretty much in the reverse, that whereas they show your spiritual condition. See, because what's happening to them naturally is happening to the lighter people spiritually. And so that's the most devastating part of it. So they go through the natural horrors while America becomes a cesspool of iniquity in the spiritual. And while America is going through the spiritual drought and the spiritual famine, little ones, that is spiritual ones, just dying. They're just literally dying. And the horrible condition that you see of that natural child is showing the spiritual condition of the spiritual children. And this is a natural death, whereas they go to the dust and God picks them up and puts life back in them. But these spiritual ones, they go to hell, they go into the lake of fire, and they're never picked up anymore. So then God, having to do what he's doing through the typical thing, you see over there the great drought taking place. It reminds me of the famine I saw where everything dried up and it moved across the world. And I heard a voice say, it's too late to write a book. Too late to do anything, and I saw the congregation just fade away. But I said those things to say this, that the spiritual condition of the world is always shown by the natural starvation and the hunger. And even though there's plenty of food in the world, those people are starving to death. There's plenty of spiritual food, but people are still starving to death. So, seeing those things happen, the Bible said in the last days there'd be famines and earthquakes, all these kind of things. They'd be the beginning of sorrows. And then following that, the Lord Jesus would come. So we see what's happening. We see the thing that's happening. It's stirring the entire world. Even rock and roll singers are contributing. They're getting tore up because they know the judgments of the Lord are at hand. So, it means that something is taking place. Now, Willie coming down here has a great significance. Him and Mike and Rick, when they came down, you had a great significance. And Willie moving down here has a great significance. Maybe we won't say anything about it tonight, but one night maybe we will, or one day. But coming down here, I had spoke of him coming down here and what it had to do with concerning the end and the change of Brother Branham's ministry altogether and what it had to do with here. And that would be completely closing out on that end up there. And whether it seems that way, whether it's right or whether it isn't right, it is a true fact that I preached on a Friday night at Beersheba that's called Beersheba. And there for Brother Randall and the people, we had a good crowd of folks, real enthusiasm, a large crowd of people, and even he was amazed at the attendance. People from all around the country. Willie, the very next day, leaves Indiana. I spoke about that having to do with the child and the woman in the wilderness and the connection with the boat, Louisiana Purchase, and whatever. Maybe you can ponder on some of these things, and when we go to detail them, you can understand them better. But whether it's God, coincident, divine providence, or whatever, Willie did leave the very next day. And even more coincidental, Willie broke down right there where we preached. And we had said that the breach over would have to do with Billy Andrews, who was contacted about the meeting, Brother Eddie Briscoe being there. You know Eddie. He was there running revival. Bill asked me to come over. And I said the breach over will be from there to Brother Carroll. And whether it's coincidental or not, Willie broke down there. And then, coincidental or not, Brother Carroll was the one that came over and took him over to his house. So as a result of that, I told Brother Taylor, I said, it's just perfect for Willie to break down and not be able to make it on Sunday, because from Friday, Saturday, Sunday, from Friday through Sunday, has to do with the 1, 2, 3 of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Son of God, and as to the things that are taking place. And Sunday being the morrow after the Sabbath, concerning the Jews, Brother Branham's people following the pattern of the quotes and the law, the Jews and whatever. Willie's name, you know, going back to William, Brother Branham being called Willie. Right there, again, coincidental or not, Brother Jim Smith, the assassin, was the one that brought Willie in. Okay, Brother Jim has to do with that thing of breaking the yoke right there on the mountain. We're not going to get into all of these things. But anyway, right there on the mountain at Rock City, you see the seven states, back to the church ages. Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, you've heard me speak of it. Rock City, that is back to Calvary. A lot of things to be said about that particular area of Ruby Falls and whatever. As a matter of fact, the Lord stopped us here a while back. We went through something concerning Revelation there at Ruby Falls. But whatever, going back to Calvary the mountain, right there was where the wrestler picked Willie up. All that is, it had to do with that area. And Willie, come on in. The meeting that we had over with Jim had to do with the law folded up and laid away, with the unveiling and the veil of death, which is that mask that Jim has. The veil of death, the old carnal mind, that of the wrestling, because those masks are not owned by Jim and others. Jim and the other wrestlers. It's owned by an association. It doesn't belong to Jim anymore. But anyway, Jim promised the mask to me. Whereas it had to do with that which is old, folded up and laid away, or the veil of death rent. And you remember what happened to Brother Taylor when Jim was going through that, and he grabbed Brother Taylor around the neck under the tent and everything. Willie probably remembers that. But anyway, that was it. I know the name of it's Black Creek or Black something. Blackston Mill. Okay, right there. It had to do with the rent veil right there. And the thing was reenacted and came to pass with Willie coming down. And things struck Willie hard up there to cause Willie to turn in this direction as to that going out. Well, coincidental or not, Willie came. Coincidental or not, having to do with Brother Branham and having to do with what the angel said about cancer. It was, as we say, sometimes we speak of Christmas carols, the birth of the child, going to Brother Carroll. But strangely enough, it was Brother Carroll's place that we was at when he showed us the big picture of the tabernacle in the wilderness and asked us to come up there and minister. Going into this, Brother Randall, going back to Bathsheba, I guess I might as well to go ahead and say some things about it because I definitely was going to have somebody to preach tonight and wasn't going into this, but it seems like that the people's minds are so in line that they're drawing to the extent that the Lord is wanting to share it with them. So anyway, New Orleans, the boat, the other boat that we bought, having to do with the boat, Brother Dwight calling tonight, the boat. You know Dwight plays the trumpet. You know what that has to do with, the last trumpet and those kind of things. And the boat is officially redeemed at Appalachia. So that boat connected with the boat, and they definitely connect together. If we had time, we'd go into the details of it. Connected with the bigger boat, which is half as big again, the one that we bought down in New Orleans. New Orleans, the Louisiana purchase, back to the purchase possession, that is to say, the redemption of the body, and that's exactly what they did to that boat down there. One man brought it down from somewhere around Canada. It was called a minesweeper. And you know what we said in the foolish and the base things, as the world would call it, those that are not even noticeable. You know, God speaks of those foolish things. He takes them to confound the wise. And we spoke of that thing concerning the minesweeper. The minesweeper. Our boat in Appalachia has a great significance in another way. But we spoke of cleaning the mine, cleaning the mine. This man that brought the boat down, I think he was Seventh-day Adventist, but he was the head of that little organization. Whereas he was fellow to Brother Randall, who apparently had a background of Assembly of God. And I'm not sure about that, but as far as I know, that's what it was. He's originally from California, which made it just right for the thing concerning Brother Branham, the body, the redemption, the full gospel businessman. And I say these things in kind of a compact way because most of you know what I'm saying. Some of you don't understand, and it won't fit together. The puzzle won't fit together right, and you'll wonder about it, but there's plenty of tapes to explain these things in detail. So there it was, Hero Island, where the boat is parked, the martyrian, which means witness, and the child caught up to the throne, which has to do with the mind of God at this time, the third dimensional act of God in the mind of God, which is the revelation. The Old Testament, the New Testament, the revelation. The book of Revelation. So this coming in at this particular time has to do with the 1, 2, 3, and I wish we could detail it. But coming in, it has to do with also the presidency. You remember the presidency? Reagan, caught up among the stars, him being a movie star. And what we preached about, though thou makest thy nest among the stars, that is the ones that landed on the moon, from thence I shall cast thee down to hell. And how that they used the Apollo to make the trips. And the Apollo goes back to Revelation. He was called the Apollo, or the Apollyon, which had to do with the devil. That is to make his nest among the stars, the carnal mind, and the people referred to as a generation of vipers, climbing up to heaven, saying that, calling him, as it was with Jacob, a worm, and saying that the serpent had made his nest in the upper lintel. He had climbed up into the upper lintel. And a lot of things we could say here that if we just took our time and detailed it, it would take all night long. But just kind of compacting a few things and letting God work it out in your mind, or you putting it together. See, and so then the redemption having to do with the boat, the Louisiana Purchase, them going completely over the boat, putting a new covering altogether on it that's equal to a 16th inch of steel, 3/16 inch of steel. It's covered with C-Flex. It's in excellent condition. The motors have been redone, new radio, new radar, whatever. Brother Randall pulling out of that area. They've got a big operation, printing operation, a King Press, a huge school operation down there in one of the most fabulous churches in the United States, or maybe in the world. It's a fabulous thing. And owning about a block in that area just of those things. I think he sold one house for $600,000. But anyway, the birth of the child and then the woman having to do with Brother Randall and his followers going into the wilderness, going up to Tennessee, way back in the mountains, purchasing about 2,500 acres of ground, setting up a dairy and whatever. See, this, the catching up to the throne. A lot of times these seven candlesticks has a great meaning here. But anyway, the true catching up to the throne, other than the change of the body of Thessalonians, has to do with the spiritual change from glory to glory, which has to do with your inner being, the new birth, and being caught up to the mind of Christ. Even the revelation, the revelational age that's coming in right now is to show that this particular thing is at hand. All the children dying, Satan striking at this time. You know, Rhema, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted, for they are not. See, for the voice of weeping and mourning was heard, killing out the little Christ child, trying to reach the little Christ child. Have you noticed the great thing that is happening so far as aid is Christians that are responding? Okay, now, we won't go into the things that you're already acquainted with as to the educational system and whatever. The child caught up to the throne, Revelation 12, and we preach to you about the educational system, how it's smiting the child, trying to introduce them to the sports and things of this world, killing out the Christian as quick as it's born with the old carnal mind. But we got tapes here where we detail that and break it down and put it into a sequence to where you can understand what we're saying. But anyway, Randall and his people fleeing into the wilderness, and we had spoke of that having to do with the feminine part and this having to do with the masculine part, just like it is with Brother Branham's following and with this move of God that's going on right now. So then I felt that we would be connected with the Randall movement and that God would do something and we'd find ourselves up there at that meeting and be connected with those people as to minister to them. And sure enough, it worked out exactly that way. And worked out exactly right, connected with Willie and with these other things that took place. So, with that, whether it's coincidental or not, we say, here, Willie gets stopped. I said, Brother Taylor, he should be here on a Monday. And, of course, he got in on a Monday night. He got you. Now, this might be coincidental, but at that very time that Willie comes, gets stranded, the veil is rent, the changeover from Brother Branham's quotes, oh, that is the spoken word to the unveiled revelation of Christ. The spoken word being in the beginning, the Bible says it's the spoken word. Brother Branham called it the spoken word. In the end, it's the unveiled word, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. John called it the revelation of Jesus Christ. Strangely enough, I had a night vision while I was praying on my knees. And while Willie was in transit, these things happening, I found myself in the vision in Jeffersonville, Indiana. And the graveyard kind of blocked off like this. Over on this end of it, away from town, the road comes up. Back from town, it comes up this way. On this end of it, back away from town, toward where Brother Branham lived, back in there, I found myself on the road going up to the graveyard and right at the corner of the graveyard. And two cars there seemed to have had a wreck. And all of a sudden, right from that corner, I found myself standing around at the end of the graveyard, right there at the entrance of the graveyard, and they had it locked off with a chain or whatever, I don't know. But I was standing there and thinking about inside the graveyard and about Brother Branham. And all of a sudden, something said something to me, and what it said, I can't remember the way that it said it. But it was something as to this, that the gospel was finished, that it was over, that was it. I know that I had my Bible in my hand, and I was thinking of my Bible in relation to that concerning Brother Branham in there, and it was spoken to me that the ministry was over. And sure enough, whether coincidental or not, speaking of Brother Branham, the closeout, here comes Willie down here just exactly the way we said it had would happen or what it had to do with. In many multiplied things that we could say tonight as pertaining to these particular things, especially in detail. Startling, they're startling for people that understand. The Bible said the wicked shall not understand. They won't know about these things. They can't understand them. And the Bible said when righteousness comes, the wicked shall not see. For the God of this world, even Lucifer, has blinded their eyes, even their eyes of understanding, that they can't understand and they can't see. It said, but ye are not children of the intellectual darkness, but children of the light, of the understanding of God. And though the coming of the Lord shall come as a snare upon all of them that dwell upon the earth, it shall not be that way with you, for the Bible said ye shall know when it's nigh even at the door. So then, these are just a few little thoughts that we sought to drop in, whereas I wasn't going to mention this tonight, but just thought to drop in to where your mind can kind of, you know, work and reminisce a little bit and go into these things. And maybe someday when we have a chance, an inspiration to speak of them, to detail them, maybe we can, and it'll be a blessing to you and you'll understand in a greater measure. But anyway, to say the least, great, wonderful, and miraculous things are taking place. Great things. A lot of things that we could say tonight. You know, I'd love to ask Willie, did he say Elizabethtown, Kentucky? Is that what you said? You know, that's astounding. I remember the meeting back around Elizabethtown. You remember that? Does anybody remember that at all? We had a meeting back up around those and in those areas back there. It was right near Elizabethtown. I especially noticed it when we was up there. And it was there that it also had to do with the rending of the veil. I brought it out. I brought out about the rending of the veil and the peculiarity of the meeting and the different things that took place. Maybe we'll mention it later. Yeah, that's right. I remember the Boaz Motel, the kinsman shoes, the bottle that was the rapture perfume, and they couldn't get the top off of it, and how that God gave me the strange visitation and the outstanding revelation that he didn't let me minister up there. Strangely enough, he didn't let me minister, and it had to do with the rapture of the church or the catching away. And then that very day they was talking about that perfume that they'd struggled so hard to get the top off of it. And they called it the rapture perfume and they never did get the top off of it. And him coming that far and then turning around, going back. And then coming at the right time. You know, it is fantastic as to what God does and the way God works. And people who are not spiritual, they can't understand it at all. To me, it's a feast. It's a great, wonderful feast. But people that don't understand spiritual things, they can't fit it together. They don't understand at all what you're saying. You know, that you come up and you speak to a German in Chinese, and the German just, he's lost. He don't know what you're saying. He don't understand. But now you speak to another Chinaman, and he'll just make conversation with you, and y'all can have the biggest kind of time. And that's the way it is, you know, with the revelation of the Lord. It's a different world. It's a different language. It's a different people. And when you get into that world, it is just wonderful. I meet people occasionally that's in that world, and we have the biggest kind of time. And then I meet other people that just look at me with a holler expression. They don't know what I'm saying. But anyway, we're not going to try to enlarge on that tonight or talk to you about it. You can be sure that even this night, though you might not understand, even this night, a great, great phenomenal thing is taking place. I want you to stand with me. My mind principally tonight is on those hungry children, on the drought, and on those people that need help. I made the statement one time, the poor, the hungry, the starving, that will never be done away with by natural aid, even though we might make a lot of effort. But the thing that I'm interested in, I would love to see it eradicated, and I'm sure God would too. But the thing that I'm principally interested in is eradicating spiritual poverty. And once it is eradicated, you'll find out that natural poverty will automatically leave. If you've got problems, if you've got physical problems, all you've got to do is get the inner part of your life straightened out. The interior. Get the bloodstream clean. Get the germs out of the bloodstream, and you'll find out the outside of the body, it'll just heal up. You'll have a good, healthy body when you get good, healthy blood and a good, healthy bloodstream. When you get to where there's nothing that affects that bloodstream, the life is in the blood. When you get it to where nothing affects that bloodstream will feed the little cells of your body, and your body will become a healthy body. And you know, the thing that purifies the heart is the Spirit of God. And it is the Spirit of God that kills out the germs. When the poison got into Paul's bloodstream, the Spirit of God killed the poison from the venom of the snake. And it didn't affect Paul's body whatsoever. It takes God's Spirit. And that's where the world is missing things today. They're looking at it through medical terminology. And I'd like, you know, I just love to be able to talk with you sometimes, as I did some of the brethren over in the evening. We had some of the brethren, Brother Vince was down there, and some of the brethren talking to him over in the evening. And we went into some things that makes it real convincing, folks. Makes it real convincing when you hear them in detail. Real convincing as to what I'm saying is true. And as to the wonderful, wonderful revelation of Jesus Christ. The wonderful health of God. And that wonderful eternal life that all the world is searching after. All the world is seeking after life. The medical profession is seeking after life. They're spending their lives, that is, great men are spending their lives in medical research trying to prolong life or to aid life. And people, as a whole, are spending millions of dollars on medical care under the care of those people. Under their oversight, hoping also to get that life prolonged and to get the blessing of that health. But while doing it, they're stumbling past the real thing, and they're blinded to the real thing as to having eternal life. Not just life temporal, but life on an eternal basis. And they can't find it because God has hid it from the eyes of the wise and the prudent, the educated and the smart, those that accredit to themselves as to being brilliant or brilliance. So they're stumbling at it. But while they do that, the Bible teaches that God is calling some people and revealing it unto babes, such as are willing to submit and willing to learn. And God is bringing to pass this wonderful thing. And we're just walking right off with life. We're walking right off with it when they are searching and looking and can't find it. And we've got it and walking right off with it. That's wonderful, isn't it? You don't have to die. You don't have to die. Jesus said, I'm the Prince of Life, and I've come that you might have life. That's my reason for coming into the world. I'm the Prince of Life, and I've come that you might have life. And he said, the way I want you to have it is just filled up and overflowing. For he said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundant. And the word abundant means filled up and overflowing. I want you to have life in such a way it's just filled up and overflowing with joy and splendor, riches and power and greatness, the magnificence of eternal living. I want you to have it. And folks, I'm thankful that I found it. I'm thankful that I found it. But you know, Willie being here, it has to do with the cutting off too. Strangely enough, coincidentally not, we told you about some things that had to do with the vault out here. And that when that vault door was finished and locked, it would have to do with the cutting off. Another thing we say, coincidental or divine providence. Right here at Willie's coming, Chuck tells me that the door is ready to lock. He's got it. After all these years, you say, well, Brother Pike, that just happened. Well, whether it just happened or not, we've been saying it for a long time. And right at the time that Willie comes, when it was supposed to happen according to what I understood in the cutting off, all of a sudden, it's worked out and he's got everything ready to lock the door. So there's a lot of things that we could say, a lot of things that are foolish, a lot of things that you think they are foolish and things that we've spoken of. And you know, and you've looked at me as if to say, what's wrong with that brother? He must be eccentric. But nevertheless, it's happening just exactly that way. You know what it is? It's the foolish and abased things of this world. The Bible said God has chosen them to confound the wise and to bring to naught that which is. That which is and is preeminent and predominant in the world, and that which rules to make the last first and the first last, God is pulling it down. Pulling it down, all those intellectual powers, that's the stronghold of Lucifer, and God is pulling it down. And he's raising up people. Ignorant fishermen, they said, can these fellows be what we think? Say, well, these are ignorant fishermen. But yet God chose them and they took notice that they had been with God. And as ignorant as they were and as uneducated as they were, yet the Bible projects them as the foundation of the city, of the great city that will last eternally. And today they are the most talked about, read about, the most appreciated in the sense of Christianity and religion of any that has ever lived. The ignorant fishermen, and they're sitting at the top of the throne, as we say. 24 elders around the throne, they're right in there with them, to rule the world throughout eternity. Ignorant fishermen. But they took notice that they had been with Christ Jesus. That ignorant fisherman, Peter, could walk on the water when science couldn't figure it out. With all of their learning, they've never figured it out. Let's sing a little chorus together. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Jesus, sweep over my soul. For my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Jesus, sweep over my soul. For we've anchored our soul in God's haven of rest, and we'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am saved evermore. For we've anchored our soul in God's haven of rest, and we'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Let's just bow our heads together. And tonight, we've shared the enthusiasm of our brother. And I'm thankful for Willie. I appreciate Willie. I appreciate Willie being here. Willie coming in this direction can be a great blessing to us, a great help and a great inspiration. To you, to me, to many others. And as Willie said, let's keep praying for Brother Jim Smith. Let's pray for our brothers. Let's ask God to save souls. Did you know one soul coming to repentance? The Bible said the angels of heaven have a jubilee over that. One soul, and there's a jubilee through heaven. We've had Richard, Sheena's companion, he's come in the last few weeks and really give his heart to the Lord. Told me, he really said, I didn't understand, Brother Pike, when I first talked with you. But said, those things you said to me, said, they mean something to me now. Said, because I've come to understand some of the things that you was talking about. Seeing you never know. You never know. If you win a soul, wouldn't it be wonderful? If I come to you tonight and I gave you a great big old diamond, a beautiful pearl, you know, or some fabulous jewel, why you'd hold on to that thing? You'd really hold on to that. Now, wouldn't you? And yet that jewel, it'll eventually fade away. It's nothing but a stone. It's nothing. You'll leave it. It's really nothing when you get right down to it. But the excitement of the value and the brilliance of it, you know, that's what captures your admiration and heart. But think, tonight I'm offering you a jewel. A jewel of splendor. A jewel. I'm offering you a jewel of splendor that it will never fade away. The price, it's priceless. It's that great pearl of great price. It's a priceless gem. And that is, if I win a soul or you win a soul, that is a jewel in your crown throughout eternity. That jewel will shine. It will outshine any jewel you ever see. It will be so bright it will outshine the noonday sun. It'll be in your crown of living, in your crown of life. That is, you'll have your soul crowned with eternal life. And that person will be there throughout eternity in your lifespan or in your lifetime, which is an eternal life. Not based on the element of time, but using human terminology to express it. In your lifetime, it will be there, radiantly outshining the sun. Just praising God and rejoicing and just glorifying the name of Jesus. And it'll be there. It'll be glorifying the name of Jesus. Just shouting and praising God throughout eternity. Just sparkling with the radiance of eternal living and the glories and splendor of the rainbow colors. Won't that be something? Wouldn't you just love to have a lot of them in your crown of living? When God crowns your soul with life, they'll be jewels in your crown. See, wouldn't you like to do that? Wouldn't you like to have that? That reminds me, Grady was telling me yesterday, he said, I had a dream about you. And he told me about the dream. One or two dreams. He was telling me about one. He said, I saw you where you'd received a lot of wealth. He said, you were so exceedingly wealthy. And said, one of the fascinating things about the wealth was you had so many jewels. Said, you just had abundance of jewels. And he said, you were so busy giving them away, you hardly had time to talk to anyone. Said, you were just passing out those jewels. You know, I've asked God something. The Bible said, ask of me the heathens, and I will give them to you for an inheritance. You see, those heathens are human souls. Those are jewels. God speaks of coming to make up his jewels. And I said, Lord, give me the heathens. Give me those jewels in my crown of life. And that was years ago when I couldn't even hardly, I couldn't go overseas. I couldn't do anything. But I believed the word of God. I said, I can't go overseas. I can't go nowhere, Lord. I ain't got no money. I'm just a struggling fellow that can't do nothing. You know, do good to get from house to house. But I'd testify and witness. And I'd say, Lord, give me them heathens for my inheritance. Give me them heathens for my inheritance. And today, as you know, the minister's gone into more than every major language of the world. Radio around the world. We've been on TV right now in Alaska, reaching people while we're standing and talk. We got a call from over in Hawaii. And it's been, things has been arranged to where if we want to take it, there's a man there, a wealthy man, that's ready to give us an A-frame building, 45 by 60, for a tax write-off. And ready to, there's a lot there or a piece of ground that's within reach where we can buy in Hawaii. And there's a man there that loans to work with us in the gospel, he and his wife. But whatever the Lord is sending us over there, we've already made arrangements to go. But whatever it is, we didn't know about that. But we'll see what comes out of it. But the Lord has given me the heathens for my inheritance. He's given them to me. And I'm asking him in more abundance, Father, give me the heathens for my inheritance. So let's pray and believe God. Have you asked God to give you the heathens for your inheritance? Have you asked God to do that? Ask the Lord. Believe the word. I asked him, and he honored his word. You know, I thank the Lord for those that are contributing, those that are helping. The other night I told the brethren, I said, brethren, I know you might not believe this, but I said, the Lord wants you to give $1,000 to them children. And you know, people look at you and say, my dear God, Brother Pike, where do you think we're going to get $1,000? I said, well, it's here. The Lord showed me it's among you. No problem. Within a few minutes, they had laid $1,000 on the floor. There it was. And I said, you know, that ain't just exactly what I feel the Lord wants. I said, that's just for now. In a little while, brethren, it had worked out that they had given $3,000 to those kids, which has already gone off. But I said, you know, that's not really it. That was just a starter. Though that seemed like a big thing, $1,000, they were startled to realize that they could give $3,000. And I said, I feel that the Lord is wanting something else, that we could make some commitments to God if we would. I said, I think tonight that what he really would like to have is $100,000. And shocking as that may sound, it wasn't but a little while before there was $130,000 worth of commitments made. I said, tonight, $130,000 of commitments made. And I appreciate people giving and people that love the Lord, people that want to do something for Christ. Appreciate Brother Gary, he and his wife contributed tonight a white van that's worth more than $5,000 in retail. We really needed one or wanted one. I'd been wanting one to get our paper for the printing room down here, something that I could put the name of the work on and identify it. You know, just for that one thing. And he came up and gave it to us tonight. Just took a notion to do it. I'd not talked to him, said anything about it, not mentioned anything to him. But he felt like doing that. You know, the Bible said, they that sow bountifully shall reap bountifully. I remember when we went down to South America. Gary, he just popped right up, wanted to give $5,000. And he hoped
in that trip to about $5,000. And God has abundantly blessed him, still blessing him. And he was just telling me tonight, said, it looks like that I'll be reaping, if everything goes right, I'll be reaping at least $60,000 in this coming year. So bountifully you reap bountifully, so sparingly you reap sparingly. So I thank God for them that have sowed bountifully. Those that have sowed sparingly, we thank God for you. You never can tell. You'll grow up one of these days. A little child, he just drops his pennies in, but one day he grows up. Maybe some of you that's growing up right now that really wants to do something for God. I know that Willie just had come in. And when he got down there, he immediately said, I want to give $1,000, Brother Pike. And I've seen people come in here and take weeks to get a job. But God honored Willie because he went to work the next day. You love the Lord? I want us to sing this little chorus. And I'm going to tarry for just a minute. Ordinarily, I'd dismiss you. But the Lord let me know that he wanted me to tarry for just a minute. The reason. Let's sing this little chorus, can we? Come into my heart. Oh, come into my heart. Just come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. While we're singing this now, I want you to step down to the altar for just a few minutes. Sing it again now. Come in to my heart. Oh, come in. Come on now. Come on down. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Let's just lift our hands up now. It's good to see Denny here tonight. I was wondering about him. Either yesterday or day before yesterday, I was wondering about Denny. Let's just lift our heart up. Good to see Richard here too. Good to see Bill with us tonight, coming down to the altar. The gentleman came here today, came last night. Don't you love Jesus? Don't you really, truly, from your heart, love Jesus? Folks, wouldn't life be worthless without Jesus? You know, I was telling some of them today, talking to my wife's mother and some of the others. Ms. Grace, she's with us tonight. She's one of the sweetest little women that I know. And my wife don't get jealous when I say that. But anyway, she's such a fine person. And she's 82 years old. She's just going everywhere. But I was just telling them today, you know, we were just talking. I said, you know, life to me would be worthless without Jesus. I probably have as much and more to live for than most anybody in the world. Because God has blessed me with my wife, my children. He's blessed me with goods. He's blessed me with finance. He's blessed me with health, mental stability, friends and neighbors to travel around the different parts of the world, giving me everything that a heart could wish for. His blessings has made me rich. It's added no sorrow. He kept his word. He kept his word. Though I've stumbled and staggered a lot along the trail, I've had some reaping to do just like you've had. But he's been good to me. But I told her today, I said, you know, if this is life, to get up, to go to bed, to get up, to eat, to go to bed, to get up, to eat, to go to bed, to get up, to eat, to go to bed, to get up, to eat. I said, that's a rut. That's a rut. You buy hamburgers today and milkshake tomorrow, and then you're back getting hamburgers the next day. You're eating steak today, and you go back, and that's all you do. You just eat and sleep yourself to death, or ride yourself to death, work yourself to death, or whatever. All this time, you're just dying, that's all. You're just dying every day. You're just in a rut. You're just dying. You're older today than you was yesterday. And a week from now, you're older than you was a week before. And though you went round and around like the old death march, the old Indian death march, just going in a circle, you went by the hamburger shop and the milkshake shop and by the bed, by the table and by the job and back to the bed and back to the table. And the old death march, that's all you do, you know. And I said, dear God, you know, I don't want to do that. I said, if that's all there is to life, I'm ready to go. I'm ready, as the world said, to just hang that up and quit right there. Because I done all of that. I done that yesterday and a day before and a day before and a day before. Why stay around to do it again today? Somebody said, well, I like that, Brother Pike. Well, that's fine. You know, if you like that and you want to do it, that's fine. That's fine. But I want to do something new. I want to adventure out into the eternities. I want to find out more about God. I want to see the greatness of that ever-expanding world that we can explore. And besides that, though you might like to eat and drink, it's just going to make you fat and old, that's all. And after a while, eating ain't going to be no pleasure to you. You know, you're going to come to the place to where all that eating and drinking is not going to be any pleasure. And you're not going to feel like riding that much. And after a while, you're going to die. You'll be dead. That'll be the end of you. They throw you in a hole and throw dirt in your face. And all that eating and drinking and round and around and eating and drinking and washing your face and getting it dirty and washing your face and getting it dirty, all that'll be over. Combing your hair and losing a little today and a little bit tomorrow. After a while, you done got bald-headed, women and men alike. Some of them fortunate enough, they keep theirs. They don't get bald-headed. They just wait till it gets white and whiter and whiter, you know. Finally, the life will leave the body and the hair. And they're planted in the dirt with hair and everything, you know, right there. Fortunate. But folks, there's more to life than that. You can do service for God. You can do service for the King. You're sons and daughters of God. You're supposed to live eternally. You're supposed to have eternal life. You're supposed to have eternal redemption. You're supposed to have a service for God in your life and in your spirit. You're supposed to be doing things. Supposed to be a life of excitement. I enjoy eating. I enjoy drinking. I enjoy doing the things that people do. I enjoy it. If I can feed a hungry child today or 1,000 people today and then I can sit down and eat tomorrow, I'm happy. I enjoy it. If I can win souls today, sit down and eat tonight, why, I'm happy. Because I know I'm going to live throughout eternity. And I'm going to be doing new things and greater things and more things and on and on and on in a world without end where God is always doing something bright and new. I'll do a new thing, the Lord said. It's going to be a great time. It's going to be a great day. Ain't you glad you're son of God? Life's worth living when you got Jesus. When you're doing a service for Jesus and you get up and you know that you're not in a rut, and you think, well, I'm not laboring for the belly. All my labor is not for the belly. I'm not in a rut. I'm doing something to save souls. I'm doing something to feed people. I'm doing something that's worthwhile. I'm doing an eternal service for an eternal reward. I'm not in a rut. What a glorious thing to know that when the day is at an end, that you realize that the sun just dropped on the other side of the hill, and your day hasn't ended at all. That you are eternally alive. And time element means nothing to you as to the sun going up and coming down. It means nothing to you as to the sun being on this side of the hill or the other side of the hill. You could care less. You're eternal. And one of these days, you're going to be in a place where the Lamb is the light of the city. Already there, as Willie said. But you can't see it. You can't tell it. You haven't comprehended it. But them that belong to that age in that city, all of a sudden they're going to comprehend it, and the scale's going to fall from their eyes, and they're going to find themselves there, and all of the others is going to find themselves not there. When grace lifts, remember Revelation 12, the child didn't go out. The child just went up to even a greater heavenly place. But the red dragon went out. That is, the blood life went out. So see, when grace lives, the blood life, that's going to go out. That is to say, there won't be any more grace, won't be any more illumination, won't be any more light, won't be any more understanding for them people. What understanding they did have will be gone. It'll be darkness. Their understanding will be darkened. Having their understanding darkened, the Bible said, blinded by Lucifer, even the prince of this world, who hath blinded their eyes that they might not see. That is their eyes of understanding. See, being blinded, they'll be cut off. Because just as soon as the light lifts, the religious attire will leave. All that will be gone, and only the holy, godly people will remain in the wonderful light of God and in the things of God, and even in a greater dimensional light for it to break forth as to the strength of another dimension. And they'll have light plus. But what little light you've got as a religious person and the understanding of God and the preaching of the word, you won't even have that, because your light will go out. He said, strengthen the things that remain. So if you don't do it, I'll come move your candlestick. And the Bible says that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching out the inward parts. The only light you've got is life. And that life is in the inward parts. And he said, I'll just come and move your candlestick. You won't have any life. You won't have any light. Not any at all. Not any. So you better strengthen the things that remain, he said. So while you're standing here, I'd like for you to give your heart to God. If you've never made that great commitment, make that commitment. Paul said, I'm persuaded to believe that nothing can separate me from the love of God, and that God is able to keep that which I've committed to him. So make a commitment to him tonight. Call on him. It shall come to pass that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ask him to save you tonight. Ask him to place his spirit within your heart. Call on the name Jesus. If you've never called on the name Jesus, call on the name Jesus. And if you've never been baptized in water in the name of Jesus, the man said to Paul, go down to the street called Straight, be baptized, Paul, wash away your sins, calling upon the name of Jesus. Baptized in his name for the remission of sins, buried with him in death, that we might live with him in life and be resurrected in the newness of life. Don't wait too late. Don't put it off. Don't try to figure it out. Don't lean to your own understanding. Do exactly what he said. Faith. I want to say this to you in closing tonight. Remember, there is but one faith. That is believing in the word. Faith cometh by the hearing of the word. The last days many shall depart from the word. That is from faith. And they'll be believers. If you believe there's one God, you do well. The devil believes and trembles. But that is not faith. Being a believer is not faith. You might believe in what your grandmother said. You might believe in what your grandfather said. You might believe in what the preacher said. You might believe in what the neighbor said. You might believe in what somebody has said or what you think. You might even believe in what you feel or what you think about it or your conclusion after studying. But that's not faith. You can still die and be lost. But faith is to read it in the book, to hear it according to the preaching of the word, just like the Bible teaches it, and believe it. And the proof of that faith is when you obey it. When you obey it. When you do what the Bible says, to repent of your sins, to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and then receive his loving spirit, the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise of God is unto you, and it's unto your children, and to as many as be afar off, even as many as the Lord God shall call to be part of the church in every age. So tonight, while you've got your heads bowed, while you're thinking on Jesus, I ask Brother Gary to come up here tonight and dismiss us, Brother Gary Armstrong. And while Gary's coming tonight to pray with you, I want you to think on what I said, folks. Give your heart to God tonight. Give your heart to God. Call on Him. Ask Him. From the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Confession is made unto salvation with the mouth. In your heart, believe unto the righteousness of God, which is by the finished works of Christ Jesus at Calvary. And that salvation is in the name of His lovely Son. Call on Him tonight. And believe that He might touch your heart, cleanse your heart, purify your heart by faith. Then send His loving Spirit into your heart, that you might confess Him with your lips to say, God has saved my soul. Folks, God has saved my soul. Commit your spirit into His trust tonight, into His hands. Do it tonight. Do it tonight.